Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
This program is sponsored by the Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. This is Reverend Juliet Schimpf speaking. I'm minister at First Baptist Church in Perth, Ontario. And today I want us to look at our purpose in life. And so the question today is, what is my purpose in life? Did you know that you are not an accident? Isaiah 44 verse 2 says, I am your creator. You were in my care even before you were born. Friends, you are definitely not an accident. And life is definitely not meaningless. Listen to what Bertrand Russell, a famous atheist, once said. Unless you assume a God, the question of life's purpose is meaningless. Friends, God formed you and me with a purpose in mind. Colossians 1 verse 16 says, For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in Christ and finds its purpose in Him. We're going to pause to listen to the famous song, I Want to See Jesus. And when we come back, we'll talk about how to discover our very own unique and God-given purpose for life.
Cause He died for me. If I never walk upon the streets of purest gold, if I never sit beside the crystal sea,
Savior's feet, I want to see Jesus. washed my tears
back. Today we're looking at our purpose in life. Rick Warren says, "You weren't put on earth to be remembered. You were put on earth to prepare for eternity. You were put on earth to prepare for eternity." I'm going to be drawing from Rick Warren's book. It's called The Purpose-Driven Life. And like Rick Warren suggests, I want us to consider this morning the fact that we are no accident. Instead, God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. Listen to Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It says, "Surely I, God, know the plans I have for you. I have plans for your welfare and not for your harm. I have plans to give you a future filled with hope." Friends, I want you to live a life full of purpose. And no ordinary purpose, a God-given purpose. Often, we try to define our purpose based on our station or phase in life. And so when I meet people, they say, "My purpose is to be a student at university," or "My purpose is to be a mother," or "My purpose is to enjoy retirement." The problem with these purpose statements is they're limited to the specific phase of our lives. I want to suggest to you this morning that our purpose is much grander than any one of those things. Now, it's important to know our purpose because, as Thomas Carlyle points out, the man or woman without a purpose is like a ship without a rudder. It is a waif, a nothing, a no man. We need to be purposeful in our living, since so much of our lives are taken up by seemingly meaningless endeavors. Listen to these statistics. In an average lifespan, we will waste our time in the following ways. We will spend 6 months at stoplights. We will spend 2 years unsuccessfully returning phone calls. We'll spend 4 years doing housework, 5 years waiting in line, and up to 6 years eating. These statistics don't even mention the time we spend on naps and television and video games. I like what Henry David Thoreau once said. He said, "As if you could kill time and not injure eternity." Friends, we need to be purposeful with our time. Listen to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. It says, "Live life with a due sense of responsibility, not as those who do not know the meaning of life, but as those who do." Okay. So we definitely need to live a purposeful life. But what is our purpose? Well, drawing from the work of Rick Warren, I want to suggest to you that we have 5 purposes. First of all, we were planned for God's glory and God's pleasure. That's our first purpose, to bring God glory and to enjoy Him. Listen to Revelation 4, verse 11. "You created everything, God, and it is for your pleasure that they exist and were created." And Romans 11, verse 36 says, "Everything comes from God alone. Everything lives by His power, and everything is for His glory." And so, in the words of John Piper, the chief end of man or woman is to glorify God by enjoying him forever. John Piper goes on to say that God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. And so our first purpose is to bring God glory by enjoying him forever. Our second purpose is that we are formed for God's family. And what this means is that we are meant to be in relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. It means that we're to find a church and to belong and to join God's family. The third purpose that Rick Warren describes in his book is that we were created to become like Jesus Christ. Genesis 1 verse 26 says, "Let us make humans in our image." And that instruction, that edict from God has never stopped being true. In Romans 8 verse 29, it says, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." And 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18 says, "We all who with unveiled faces contemplate Jesus Christ's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory." And so our third purpose is to be made a little bit more like Jesus Christ each day. Our fourth purpose is that we were shaped to serve God. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. "We are God's workmanship, created in Jesus Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10 says, "God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other, passing on to others God's many kinds of blessings." And our fifth purpose, according to Rick Warren, is that we were made for a mission. In John 17, verse 18, it says, "In the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I, Jesus Christ, give them a mission in the world." And in Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus says, "Go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." So these are our five general purposes. We're going to pause to listen to a song called "Your Name." And when we come back, I want us to get a lot more specific, and together we're going to learn how to write our very own purpose statement for life.
As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save your name. is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nation sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save.
Welcome back to Good News Christian Ministries. Today we're talking about discovering our very own purpose in life. I just went over five global or general purposes in our lives. Now I want to talk about how we can create our very own life purpose statement. You know, Billy Sunday said, "More men and more women fail through lack of purpose than lack of talent." And so I think it's worth our time today to learn how to make our very own life purpose statement. Now let's talk about how we do it. We don't actually do it through astrology, palm readings, even consulting experts like Dr. Phil. Jeremiah 29 verse 8 says, "Do not let the prophets and the diviners who are among you deceive you, and don't listen to the dreams they dream. For it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I never sent them," says God. Instead, we need to come to God and His holy word. Jeremiah 29 verse 12 says, "Then when you call upon me, and when you come and pray to me, I will hear you. And when you search for me, you will find me. And if you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me," says the Lord. So let's turn to God and let's turn to His Word, and let's together now learn how to make our very own life purpose statement. The first thing I want to suggest to you when we make our own purpose statement is that it needs to be lifelong in use. It needs to be lifelong in use. And what I mean by that is that it needs to give meaning and direction to the whole of our lives. It needs to last as long as we do. And so, a bad example would be this statement: "I want to be a professional Christian athlete." The problem with that life purpose statement is that it's too limited in scope. Once the Christian ceases to be a professional athlete, he or she no longer has a purpose statement. I'll give an example of a purpose statement that is lifelong in use. In Psalm 17, David said, "I have purpose that my mouth will not transgress." That, friends, is a purpose statement that is lifelong in use. The other thing about a life purpose statement is it needs to be general in its wording. It can't be too specific. And so the purpose can't say, "My purpose is to be a missionary in Zambia," or "My purpose in life is to marry a believer." What happens once a person marries a believer? No, the purpose statement needs to be a little broader. Listen to Crayola's purpose statement: to bring a hands-on product for creative personal development and fun to consumers of all ages, both home and away from home. You see how broad that purpose statement is? The Apostle Paul gives us another good example of a life purpose statement that is general in its scope. He says that his purpose is to forget what is behind, to strain toward what is ahead, and to press on to win the prize for which God has called him heavenward. That is a good example of a general life purpose statement. Another tip for making your life purpose statement is that it needs to be relational in meaning. That is, it needs to be all about people. Recall that Jesus Christ's commandments are all about people. We are to love God and we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. And so any purpose statement that we write for ourselves that does not involve people is flawed at its very core. And so a purpose statement that fails this test would be something like, I want to make lots of money in life. Do you see how there's no people in that statement? A better example comes from the lips of Jesus Christ himself. His purpose statement was the following. The Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. That, my friends, is a good purpose statement because it's all about people. Now, another tip for writing your life purpose statement is that it needs to be all-encompassing. That is, it needs to be comprehensive enough to touch every aspect of your life. It can't just be about your career, and it can't just be about your social world. It needs to be about all aspects of your life. Mary Kay is a company that has mastered this. Its purpose statement is the following: to enrich women's lives. Do you see how you can go anywhere with that purpose statement? Do you see how it's comprehensive? The book of Ecclesiastes gives us another such example. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the teacher tells us that his life purpose statement is the following: I'm determined to be wise. Let me say that again. I'm determined to be wise. That, my friends, is an all-encompassing purpose statement that touches every aspect of our lives. Another tip: when we write our life purpose statement, it needs to be short enough to memorize. And so I would suggest that it would be 20 to 30 words maximum. John the Baptist had a good purpose statement. He says that his purpose statement is the following: I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. The cool thing about this life purpose statement is it was able to tell John exactly who he is not. In John 1, he is able to say, I am not the Messiah. I am not the prophet. How could he say that so clearly? It's because he knew precisely who he was. He was the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness. All right, we're on the home stretch. Another tip for writing your life purpose statement is that it needs to be unique. It needs to be a personal expression of your prayer life, your calling, and your vision. Listen to my own personal life purpose statement: to proclaim the truth, the relevance, and the urgency of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That, my friends, is my own personal life purpose statement. It summarizes my life's journey. It blends my giftings and my education and my spiritual talents. In short, it's what makes me tick. Now, here's the very last tip that I want to give you for writing your life purpose statement. It needs to be measurable. You need to be able to measure your success over time. Coca-Cola has mastered this principle. Its purpose statement is to maximize share owner value over time. John the Baptist had a measurable purpose statement in John 3, verse 30. He says, He, Christ, must become greater, and I, John the Baptist, must become less. You see how John the Baptist could measure his success? He simply needed to check himself, that he was becoming less and he was promoting Christ more. Friends, in a moment we're going to listen to that classic hymn, Thine Be the Glory. While you listen to it, I want to invite you to ask God what your life purpose statement should be. Would you join me first in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you created each and every one of us with a purpose in mind. None of us are an accident in your sight. We thank you that you have given each and every one of us a unique personality, unique giftings, unique passions, and they're all to be served or used for your glory. God, I pray for each and every listener this morning that he or she would be able to figure out their life purpose statement by using the tips I've presented this hour. And so, God, speak to us. What is our purpose? What would you have us to do? How can we please you? We ask all this in your precious name, the name above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.